97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's have at it, shall we? What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 10:47 on a Monday night where we thought things would get a little better after a tough Eagles loss. Sixers going on the road against a tough competitor in the Toronto Raptors. So we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, but they fall 101-96, and man, was it frustrating. We already have some people waiting on the line. This is In the Post until midnight. Josh Rabick producing the show. I am Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, great work engineering the game back here from the Sixers flagship station, 97.5, The Fanatic, 11-6 now. Sixers winners are 4 in a row until tonight, and it looked like they were going to get that fifth win. A tough, tough road win in Toronto where they had lost 13 in a row, now 14 in a row after this one. Regular season games on a road in Toronto, and man, was this one tough. Joel Embiid, the story, of course, where you are looking at your all NBA center, 31 minutes and 57 seconds. Here's the line. 0 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, no blocks, 5 personal fouls, 4 turnovers, 0 of 11 from the floor, 0 for 4 from deep, 0 from 3 from the free throw line. It was clearly in his head after a while. You could see it early in the first quarter where he was 0 of 2. Okay, myself, Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, after we finished the pro show with Brian Westbrook at PJ Wilhans in Cherry Hill, we were watching the first quarter together before I left to come back here. And after a while, you saw the Raptors going to 8-0 run to really start things off. The Sixers climbed back into it. And you saw that Embiid did not have a shot attempt. And as the game was going on, we all looked at each other and said, the shot that he just took, he really didn't need to take that. When that was about 19, 20 feet away from the basket with Marc Gasol all up in his face, but he had not gotten a shot attempt yet. And he saw that. He recognized that, and he felt like he just had to get something going. And if you felt he needed to get something, you wish that it was something closer to the basket to get that first shot. And it was like, okay, that was kind of selfish, but you know what he's doing. Still don't like it, but if it goes in, all right, he missed it. 0 of 2 from the field in the first quarter. Second quarter comes along, 0 of 2 again. So he's 0 of 4. So you know after that, with them down by 1 at the half, everyone else is doing whatever they're doing. 15 points by Josh Richardson at the break. Tobias Harris with 8. Mike Scott with 8 off the bench. Furkan Korkmaz gives you 6 off the bench. Horford 5. Ben only 2. Only taking the 2 shots, but he has 8 assists, 6 rebounds. You know how that's going. 4 turnovers. Not good enough for Ben in that first half. You know coming out of the break, they're going to try to get him going, as they should, right? Well, he's 0-4 from the field. 0-2 from deep. 0 points still in that third quarter alone. You know he's going to try to find a way again, right? You go to your horse, your crown jewel, as Brett Brown calls him, likes to call Joel Embiid. Unfortunately, it was not his night. He pressed a few times. He got himself in some tough situations, especially down the stretch, where he tried to spin into it, spin away from Marc Gasol. He was already about to be double. He goes right into the defender, offensive foul, and he just didn't need it. His three-pointer that he took in the fourth quarter, he took 2, one of which was really deep, didn't need it. It wasn't necessary at that time. So after a while, he started pressing, and it was kind of selfish because none of the work that we're talking about was on the block, in the post, if you will, to get himself easy looks. And even when the 76ers were fortunate enough to get a foul away from the play on an inbounds, which results in a technical foul on the Toronto Raptors, a free throw for the 76ers, and you can choose anyone because Mike Scott was fouled away from the play, and you give the opportunity to Joel Embiid to try to just see the ball go through the basket. You guys know how that goes, and he misses a free throw. So at this point, I mean, it's all in his head. Not to mention, Marc Gasol is just simply playing him very well, like he does. You're back in the place where you had a tough walk-off loss to end your season, a season to go in the postseason in the second round in game number 7. There was a lot to tonight for Joel Embiid. I am glad we didn't hear he was sick, right? Something like that. And it really affected his play tonight. We did not hear that. We did not get that. What we got was a terrible performance by Joel Embiid. I'm sure we won't see this again, and I suspect that we'll see a better overall game from him. I feel bad for the Sacramento Kings, I think, coming up on Wednesday night back here in Philadelphia as they host the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday. 7 o'clock tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. That was one thing, and by the way, he did that in 31 minutes and 57 seconds. Ben Simmons, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 14 assists, 4 of 8 from the field, 40 minutes, a game-high 40 minutes from Ben Simmons tonight. The one that we're going to remember now is really the three-pointer at the end, where he had plenty of time to assess the situation, find where everything was. As I look at the play chart right here, Tobias Harris misses a... Tobias Harris misses a 28-foot three-point shot. Ben Simmons gets the rebound, heaves a 33-footer from deep, and that was with 6.2 seconds left on the clock. Marc Gasol gets the rebound with 4 seconds to go, throws it the half court to Pascal Siakam for a running dunk. Score 101-96. Unacceptable. Your point guard has to know time and situation at that point. Remember, as Tom McGinnis pointed out during our post-game segment together, he was the one inbounding the play. So you know in the huddle, before they come out on the floor, they are pounding it into how many timeouts are remaining or not, time left on the clock. And when he threw it and Tobias Harris had an opportunity to get that shot off, there was only 3 seconds separating Tobias Harris's miss, the rebound from Ben, and 1 second from the rebound, and when Ben decided to turn around and just simply heave that. Unacceptable. You need to know time and situation at that point when you are the point guard, and not only point guard, but the man who inbounded the ball. You have to understand what is going on right there. If you didn't have any timeouts left, whether you like what Embiid did or not, he was in the paint. There was an opportunity to at least give him the ball, layup, foul. You're down 3. Now you play the free throw game and give yourself a chance. Neither team was great from the free throw line tonight, so you take your chances. Toronto was 14 of 22, right? You take your chances. That cannot happen from your point guard, your all-star point guard. He has to know what the situation was at that point. Tom also brought up, and we brought it up as well, the 2 errant passes by Ben Simmons. The one where Tobias Harris snuck back door away from his man, was wide open. Had Ben Simmons drilled that pass like we've seen him in the past, just throw it really hard to Tobias Harris, give him a chance to catch it with the man running by him, OG Anunoby. 1 dribble, either a power dunk, layup, foul, whatever it might have been, you give yourself a better opportunity. It was a lazy pass. Anunoby with an opportunity to get his hand in there, tip the ball. It wound up going off of Tobias Harris. An unfortunate play at that point. Then later, where the Sixers play good defense, give yourself, you're already scoreless. Toronto has been the only team scoring. You get a fast break opportunity where you're still up. Ben Simmons with a bad turnover because he did not put enough on the pass as he tried to lead it to Tobias Harris for the dunk opportunity. Again, not enough on the pass. Just unacceptable. Put it up higher. Allow Tobias Harris a chance to make a decision on how it happens. That and he had a turnover with 12 seconds to go. Josh Richardson was forced to take a foul, and Fred VanVleet makes one makes both free throws, 99-96. And we know what happens at that point. And just a tough loss tonight by the 76ers. Really thought they were going to find a way to come away with this one. You're a veteran team. You have to come away with stuff at the end. You have to find a way, no matter what, to get this win on the road. There are a lot of people who want to talk. Mike, Kevin, Drew, Troy, Chris, Mitch. Hang on, guys. We're going to come right back, 25 minutes commercial free. We're going to come right back and get right to the phones and give you guys an opportunity to say your piece about tonight's loss, 101-96 to the Raptors. Tough one tonight by the Sixers. I'm Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing. This is In the Post until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Now Tobias looking. They get it into him. He's going to shoot a three. It's in the air. It's short. No good. Rebound tipped by Simmons. 6 seconds, and he shot it. An air ball. There was still 6 seconds to go. Siakam's going to dunk it, and Toronto wins the game. Are you kidding me?
You have to know time and situation. Welcome back to In the Post as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Give the numbers, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick here with you until midnight. We will take your phone calls as I look at a highlight of Giannis hitting a three against the Utah Jazz, and he had 50, 14, and 6. All right. Okay. Light work, I guess, as Milwaukee beats the Utah Jazz 122-118, 42. No, he had 42, 11, and 6 in this Jazz game. It looks like. I don't know why that one said that, but that being said, no, it is. 50, 14, and 6. Man. Okay, 19 free throws. Get it done, Giannis. Let him know. Meanwhile, yeah, let's go to the phone. 610-632-0975. We go in the post to start things off with Mike in South Philly on 97.5. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, man? Can we talk about this Ben Simmons guy?
Floor, man. Go for it.
Listen, there's no reason why we should be running a fast break and waiting for Ben Simmons to get half court, give him the ball just so he can pull it back out to the three and wait for something to develop. I don't know what is going to pop up, but he does it 4 or 5 drives straight every time. There's no way you can run a 3-on-3 and not get to the line or get something out of that instead of pulling it back to the foul line.
He had one earlier, Mike, and again, he had 7 overall, 7 turnovers tonight against the Raptors. He had one where he got deep into the paint, I would say at least by the circle, close to the free throw line, and he turned around and tried to scoop past it again, and it was going the other way, and it's like, come on.
Why?
Man. Why? Just
What's
go. Go lay it up. Go dunk on it, whatever.
You're 6'10". You're supposed to be a freak of nature. Why are you not dunking the ball? Another thing is, why is Brett Brown even letting him? I don't even think he's a point guard, to be honest with you. I think they should put him at the 3 or the 4 and let somebody else run a point, because he obviously can't bring a ball down and make a mid-range at all. So that's handicapping the whole team, and that's probably part of the reason why Joel is playing the way he's playing, because there's no reason Joel shouldn't be having 20 points and 15 rebounds every game. But Ben is handicapping everybody. He don't shoot. He don't do anything for us. Like, he has nasty stat lines, and then he turns around to ask, 7 turnovers. Like, that's unheard of.
No, it was, man. Mike, thanks for the call, man. Great way to start things off for us. And I say it again, and I really don't want to have to say that I'm a Ben Simmons guy and everyone knows that I'm a Ben Simmons guy. But despite the fact that he came close to a triple, and I thought he played very well, despite only having 4 points on Saturday against Miami, I wasn't even worried about that because they got off to such a great start and everyone else got going the way that they did. I thought his focus was going to be defending Jimmy Butler, stepping up to the challenge, and he did. Jimmy Butler taking 13 shots. I believe he was 4-13 with 11 points. I thought Ben Simmons did a tremendous job defending Jimmy Butler. I thought Jimmy pressed a lot, but I also thought Simmons played good defense on him. While I would have wanted more points, I was fine with how it ultimately ended up. And tonight, with Simmons, again, seeing that Embiid did not have it, third quarter, he comes out right away. Bang, bang. Two layups going right to the rim. Layup, layup. Another opportunity. He got another bucket. He had 8 points in the third quarter. I thought he would continue his aggressive play once again. But we saw it one more time. We saw it one more time. As I'm trying to look at the fourth quarter and see how many turnovers he had in the fourth. He had two turnovers in the fourth quarter. Two. All of one from the floor. And that was the three-pointer at the end of the game. He did not take a shot in the 9 minutes that he was out there on the floor in the fourth quarter. And they lost the quarter by 4 points. It's not like someone else was on fire in the fourth quarter. Tobias had four. Richardson had four. Horford, two. Korkmaz and Neto, three each. Go get yours. It's there. Go get it. Meanwhile, Pascal Siakam takes 5 shots in the quarter. Marc Gasol, who was 0 for, takes 4. 3 from deep. Fred VanVleet takes 3. Terrence Davis takes 4 shots in the fourth quarter for the Toronto Raptors. I understand that they were down and they were more a sense, there was more of a sense of urgency for them to really get things going, but there's a sense of urgency, too, to close this team out on their floor. They're undefeated. Kevin in New Jersey next in the post. What's up, Kev?
Hey, big dog. Hey. Hey, I want to first of all say, hey, thank you for having that pick with me with Trey Thomas. And,
oh, man, Kev, thank you so much for coming by, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. And you know what? I thank you for what you do for the tri-state area. But my question is, and I agree with the previous caller as far as Ben Simmons, but what can we do as far as with Embiid going further and him not having this outstanding done crap that he did today, whereas though he scored no points. It doesn't make any sense to me. He's a big man, and I understand why he has 0 points and he's going to the basket, and he was not into the game today. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So, and Kev, I'm going to go back and try to look at the shot chart for him tonight to see where his shots came from, because once again, we know that he was 0 of 4 from deep tonight. So I want to see where those other shots came from, those other 7 shots came from tonight, where he did not try to get his work done really on the block, because tonight, man, he just didn't have it. And after a while, Kev, I just thought he was being selfish and trying to find it when it's not something closer to the basket to try to get himself going. If it's not going to be a layup or a dunk opportunity, get fouled, right?
Right.
Exactly. Get to the free throw line. Get some easy ones and then try to get yourself going.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was my point, bro. But keep doing what you're doing, man. And, you know, God bless you, man. And I'll talk to you soon, my brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks for you and the family coming out tonight. It was great seeing you guys. Really appreciate it, Kev. And the one thing that I've been saying about Embiid, I hope you guys don't mind me jumping in on this real quick before we get to Troy and Drew, Chris, Glenn, Jimmy, and everybody else, 610-632-0975. I've seen over the last two seasons with Embiid that as good as he is, as great as he is, pardon me, we talk about Simmons and Embiid both not really getting that much better than they already were. I've said a few times, and I wonder if anyone else has seen this, where it doesn't look like, and I don't mean trash talking, it doesn't look like Embiid is just having the same type of fun out there on the floor. We used to see him smiling all the time, engaging with the crowd both on the road and at home, and he was still going out there and backing up all of that, right? You don't mind them backing that stuff up when they're putting up, the production is there. I just haven't seen my observation again, that he just doesn't seem to be having the same amount of fun. He looked like he's lagging up the court from time to time, and we've always all talked about his conditioning and being in better shape overall. But he just seems to not be himself. And we saw it in the first half against Miami, where they really got into a double-digit lead over the Heat. We know that he was going to be up for it against Jimmy Butler coming back. He keeps talking about how he misses them. They're close friends and on and on and on. He gets a basket. Miami is forced to call a timeout. He waves to the crowd like he does, urging them to cheer. He does his shimmy, sticks his tongue out and all that. And then we don't see it again. Now, he had a nice game, but it just doesn't seem like he's into it like he has been in the past. Maybe I'm wrong. Josh, have you seen the same thing when you watch him, that he just doesn't seem like he's having the same type of fun out there on the floor? Just go out there and have fun. And I don't mean just talk and get into a back and forth with the players, but whatever it is that allowed you to have that fun, where you were enjoying yourself on the court, getting that production on the floor, getting wins, I want to see that Embiid again. The domination of getting double-figure free throws, I want to see that Embiid again. He only had three tonight. One was a freebie from the foul away from the play on an inbounds pass, which resulted in a free throw for the 76ers. Are you guys seeing the same thing? Am I wrong? 610-632-0975. Troy in North Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's up, Divine? Pleasure to talk to you.
You
first
too,
time,
man.
Long time.
You want to talk about a beat? Am I wrong?
Yeah,
are you observing the same thing? Do you see where he just doesn't seem like he's having the same type of fun? He doesn't smile anymore?
Yeah, it just looks like he's not having fun out there. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand Embiid is the best player on the team, but I feel like it was bad coaching tonight. Why not put Mike Scott in there that was having a good game? He actually had 12 points tonight.
Troy, I'm glad you said that. I thought they were going to take him out of the game.
And he was spreading the floor. Indeed. He was helping the team. Yeah. I feel as though if Brett Brown would have sat him down and put Mike Scott back in the game, we would have won the game. Putting Eagles aside, man, look, we're trying to win games.
Absolutely. Troy, I'm sitting here, and Josh is in there, and Tyler's in there. I'm looking around because I want to yell to these guys, leave him on the bench, right? Mike Scott is playing well. Leave him on the bench. Let Al Horford play the five, and you put Mike Scott, and I understand they want to give your crown jewel an opportunity. It's early in the season. You want to ride your big dog and see if he can get it done. But no, if it's working, it's working. He's going to be upset. But guess what? He was already upset because he wasn't playing well. He has to figure it out, and maybe that will light a fire under him coming into this Wednesday night's game against the Kings.
Right. I just feel as though we can't win with Ben Simmons either, man, because Ben Simmons is not a traditional point guard. He's not going to pull up when we need a bucket. We can't win with him, man. Even in the playoffs, he gets shut down a lot. And it just seems like he's scared in the moment when he's playing against tough teams.
He's making it tough for me to defend him, Troy. Thanks for the call, man. Good stuff. Good observation about the coaching and deciding to go with your best player, but leaving Mike Scott. Hey, James Ennis, even if you want to, out there on the floor, because they were giving you some good production off the bench tonight. James Ennis only 5 points, but he gave you 2 steals. He was active. Mike Scott, 12, 3 of 5 from deep. Got to the free throw line as well, 3 of 4 from the stripe. I considered that as well. I would have. Troy, you're right. I would have. And you know what? If it didn't work, I still raise my hand and explain at the end of the game, if I'm Brett Brown, why I did it. Hey, Joe didn't have it going. Mike was playing well. We thought that we could spread the floor a little bit with an extra shooter out there with Al Horford at the five, creating the way that he does from that five spot. Marcus Saul is away from the basket, so that's now giving Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, all three of them an opportunity to create some chances for themselves and their teammates. I thought that's the way the game was presented. That's what I saw in front of me, and I went with that opportunity, and I stand by it. And we'll go with, obviously, Joel Embiid to get things started against the Kings on Wednesday night back at home. He's an all-star. We know who he is. He's an all-pro player. We get it. and we understand his defense. Al Horford is a tremendous defensive player as well. That's what I would have done. Troy, you're right. I would have done it. And not even given it a second thought. Now, if it came down to defensive, offensive substitutions, right, like rebounding opportunities at the end of the game, maybe I would have done that. But when they're rolling, yeah, I would have gone that way. Devon Givens with you in the post, 610-632-0975. You guys want to react to the loss tonight, 101-96 to the Toronto Raptors. We're here until midnight. Josh Rabick is producing the show, 610-632-0975. We had a couple people drop during Troy's phone call, so if you want to jump in and the line has been busy, feel free. We're here to take your phone call. Chris in Center City is in the post. Thanks so much, Chris. You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's happening, Devon?
What's up, Chris? Frustrated you lost tonight, man.
Well, you know, I'm really frustrated with Brett Brown, period. You know, because I don't see any market improvement in Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid's game since they came into the NBA. And, you know, a lot of the criticism that people have for the team when people call in to your show and other shows on 97.5. While the criticism is about how the players are playing, I think the main criticism without the caller saying it is their basketball IQ and, you know, making bad passes and be, when he's not in the post, he's not in the post enough. When he is in the post, you know, his post moves aren't fluid. You know, I'm not convinced at all that Brett Brown is the guy to coach this team and get the most out of the players. I think having Brett Brown on his team is really wasting the players' best years.
Well, you're not the first one to say it. You won't be the last. This has been, he even acknowledged it, where he knows that he's basically fired every year. So, Chris, this is going to continue with him. He may not be. I don't know what it would take for him to be removed from his coaching position with this team and Elton Brand and the ownership group making a decision like that. I have no idea, but you might be right. We'll find out because I suspect that if things continue the way that they're going, 11-6, man, I mean, it's not a terrible record, but you expect them to win close games like this in situations because they've been there before, Chris. They are a veteran team now. They've been in these situations. You learn from them. Thanks so much for the call. And you find a way to win these basketball games. And we have seen them win some. But others seem to be more frustrating than some of the ones that we have seen in the past. This was very frustrating. Very frustrating. This was an opportunity for him to say to his player, yes, I have your back. Obviously, he did. He's the one that's going to be criticized after for having his back and his player not stepping up for him. This was also an opportunity for him to say, hey, I always have your back. But we need a win here and you don't have it. Show that this is your team. You have the team's overall goals, which is a win. I mean, if it means sitting Embiid, you sit Embiid. We've seen it done to star players before. Have him come back in the next game fired up and drop 50 on the Sacramento Kings because he's ticked off. The accountability thing that we talk about that has never been there for Simmons and Embiid and Okafor, Noel, Michael Carter-Williams. This was a rare chance for an accountability thing in game where your star player doesn't have it to sit him down, let him watch, see what happens, see how they close it out. It was also one for Simmons to do the exact same, and he did not do it. Did not come up clutch for his basketball team. Glenn in Philly in the post next on the Fanatic. Glenn, what's up?
Hey, Devon, how you doing, my brother?
Oh, my man, Glenn, how you doing, man?
Yeah, it's been a long time, man.
It has been. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good. I really stopped calling because it's just frustrating. It's, you know, the same thing over and over. First thing first, I do agree. I'm the first one to say use your weapons, use other players on your bench. I'm a big component of that. However, I think if they would have put Joel on the bench with Mike Scott, Siakam would have ate Mike Scott up. You're a better defensive team, and we were close in the game. And I believe everyone was doing like I was doing. Even though JoJo was shooting a jump shot, I think everybody was on the edge of their couch or edge of the seat, hoping that it would go in. I know hope don't win you anything, but at least we were in the game. I think Mike Scott would have gotten eaten up. I think Siakam would have eaten up Mike Scott because you would have had to put Al Horford on Gasol. And Horford did a pretty good job on Siakam.
Well, for me, Glenn, just to counter, I would have put Ben on him. That's my matchup right there.
Ben on who?
Siakam. And I worry about Ananobi, Powell, and Fred VanVleet with everyone else. I put Ben on Siakam.
No, I mean, I'm cool with that. Put Tobias
on Ananobi, Josh Richardson on Fred VanVleet, and whoever else is out there. And Mike Scott, as you just pointed out, I put Mike Scott on Ananobi and put Tobias Harris on Norman Powell.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that might have worked. We would never know. But
yeah,
it might have
worked. We won't.
We would never know. But Ben, I called you. I think the first time we spoke was back with the draft.
Yes.
And I was an Ingram fan. I was not a Ben fan. I went with Ingram because I'm a Tar Heel fan, and I saw what Ingram did to Tar Heels. I saw him play in the big conference. I liked his skill set, and I said if he gains some weight, he gets stronger, I think he's going to be a good NBA player. The one thing I had against Ben, well, a few things, it's still there. It's come to fruition. Ben has no heart. He will not take shots when the game is online, although he does throw up a shot with 7 seconds left, ironically. But our coach is hamstrung. You cannot put every loss on Brett when you're a point guard. Like my caller, a couple of callers ago said, he is not the point guard that will give you the key shot. He will not take the key shot, will not get to the rim. He is not that guy, especially in the end of the game. He came in that third quarter and scored 2 straight layups. Somebody said something to him in the locker room because he was very passive in the first half, as usual.
Yep.
He came out in the second half, 2 straight layups, and then that was it. Turns his back on passes.
Yep.
Tobias was trailing him. He turns his back and throws the ball away.
Yep.
Weak passes, cross-court passes in the playoffs last year. He started off the season this year with weak cross-court passes, especially when the game is on the line. Ben is not that guy. I'm sorry. We need to stop making excuses for him. Michael Barr can't try to make an excuse for him. And Jimmy Lyon, who's a huge Ben Simmons fan, told Michael Barkham, stop. Michael Barkham said his momentum was taking him out of bounds, and that's why he threw it. Jimmy Lyon said, stop it. No, that wasn't no momentum.
And even Glenn, listen, thanks for the call, man. Great to hear from you again, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. Before we go to break and get to Jimmy Lance and B.I., on the phones, when Ben took that 33-footer, the fadeaway, that was totally unnecessary with 4 seconds left on the clock or 5 seconds left on the clock, he sat on the scorer's table. Okay? So when you watch the replay, after he shot it and his momentum, as Glenn just talked about with Michael Barkan and Jimmy Lynam doing their postgame show on NBC Sports Philly, he sat on the scorer's table and watched as Pascal Siakam received the outlet pass from Marc Gasol, took it, and dunked. He was sitting on the scorer's table. 610-632-0975. In the post, Josh Rabick, Devon Givens, you guys on the phones. We're going until midnight right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Pascal Siakam with 10 to shoot out top. He has a dribble against Horford. Siakam with a crossover. Siakam spins into the lane. Met by a defender. He makes it and a foul. Simmons came to double. Siakam, though, able to muster that ball up over Simmons.
97-96 to give the Raptors a lead. And, of course, they walk away 101-96, victorious over the 76ers. I'm Devon Givens. This is In the Post. A 10-0 run down the stretch for the Raptors. Sixers were up 96-91 after Josh Richardson made a mid-range jumper. And you said, all right, yeah, they're going to find a way to lock this thing down. They're going to get it done. Two missed free throws by Pau Gasol, 96-94. Offensive foul, next possession by Joel Embiid. Just was not his night. 610-632-0975. They shot 41% from the field, 36 of 88. They hoisted up 43s, 15 of 40, 37.5%. 9 of 16 from the free throw line. Josh Richardson leading the team with 5. He missed 3. He missed 3 on a 3-pointer. All 3. And super fan for the Raptors, you'll notice him, he always sits underneath the basket. He was throwing up a towel for each free throw that Josh Richardson attempted, if you noticed that during the game. If not, you just go back and look, and you can see every time Josh was getting ready to go up and take the free throw shot, the towel went up in the air each time when he was getting ready to shoot. So just a tough night, 9 of 16 again, 56% from the free throw line. They did win on the glass 51-40, 14 offensive rebounds to 8 assists. They do what they always do. They share the ball, 25 assists on 36 made baskets, so that's fantastic, but you have to make your free throws. You cannot miss 7 free throws against this team. Embiid missed that one, so down the stretch, when you look at the score, while it's 96-101, it could have been totally different. 101 because of the last basket, 96-99 because of the fouls that they had to take at, because they had the bad pass from Simmons at for that turnover. Man, 16 turnovers for the Sixers, 14 points off of those turnovers for the Raptors, only 10 for Toronto as they protected the basketball, leading to only 6 points for the 76ers. In the paint, dominated 44-28. So once again, if we talk about Embiid trying to establish himself and get some easy buckets, get some easy looks, 44-28 for Toronto. 11 second chance points to 7 for the Sixers. 3 of 15 off of those second chance opportunities for Philadelphia. 5 of 10 for Toronto. And fast break chances for the Toronto Raptors, 13-7. They had the advantage tonight over the 76ers. Tough loss, 101-96. We're in the post next with Jimmy from Mount Holly on 97.5. Hey, Jim.
Jimmy, it's been a while. Always a pleasure.
Always,
man.
Thank you.
Talk to you. I was telling Josh when I had him on hold, doesn't this coach remind you a lot of Gabe Kapler? I mean, an inability to feel the game. I mean, I was listening to you and Troy go back and forth, and I had those thoughts before I heard you and Troy talk about them. I mean, and also, doesn't this remind you of the same Sixers last year, the year before? Only a few names and faces have changed.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're very close to the team. I mean, as well as your great knowledge and ability to analyze what you see, I have this deathly fear that they're not going to get rid of this coach. I mean, unless something really egregious happens, like getting bounced in the first round. I mean, it just seems like to me, I listen to this guy. I mean, and I defended him for a long time. You never liked him, and you're going to pan out being right. You have panned out being right, but he's just a snake oil salesman. I'm fearful that he's going to manage to slither his way back with this team, unless, of course, they get knocked out in the first round. Do you think I'm being, like, irrationally fearful here?
No, if and to your point, Jim, real fast, if they get knocked out in the second round, I suspect that he's in trouble. And you might even look at it if they are certain at a certain point after 25 games or so, and they are not where they need to be, and you feel like the message is not being sent, they're not receiving it with the roster that they've built. Who knows what they might do? I don't know, but of course fingers are going to be pointed because he's been here for a while. Jim, thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you. He's been here for a while. The same issues keep happening. Turnovers by your two young star players in the same fashion. Embiid double teamed, dribbling too much, trying to do too much. Simmons going 100 miles per hour, great at stopping on a dime. The question is often, where are you going with the basketball? Sometimes he's so confident in his passing ability that he thinks he can squeeze the ball anywhere in any place, and that was not the case again tonight with his 7 turnovers. Evident once again. That's going to come down on him, Brown, because those two young players are not going anywhere, at least right now. If they were going to make a move, maybe they do that in the offseason. Not right now. The one that's going to get moved on from will be the head coach. 610-632-0975. B.I. in Norristown in the Post on the Fanatic. What's going on, B.I.?
Hey, my man, Devon. How are you?
Hey, man, tough one tonight. I thought they would find a way to pull this game out. I really did.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I like your show. I've been listening to you for, like, forever, first time calling.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
I appreciate it. So, how's I explain it to your producer? We need to take this coach out. I love him deep down. I love him. But he's not going to get us over the hump. We already see the blueprint from Toronto. The coach that was there, he didn't get them where they need to be. And when they replaced him last year with a new coach, of course, Kawhi get a lot of points on that, get them the championship.
Yes.
But they have a new coach. Give them a new system that players doesn't know, that they will respect.
Yeah, and to your That's point, they got rid of Dwayne Casey, who was the coach of the year. They moved on from him, and they elevated Nick Nurse. So you're right there.
Yeah. And always they got 60, 50 wins every year, but nothing happened. That's the same thing that's going to happen with Sixers every year. So what I'm thinking, they just need to take him out, get a new guy. The player doesn't know who's going to teach this guy how to play a real basketball. For example, it's just simple. Have you ever seen Embiid get a pick and roll toward the basket?
Say that one more time.
Have you ever seen Embiid get a pick and roll going inside?
Not as often as we should.
Yeah, he's a big man. I'm like,
he's more of a pick and pop guy at this point. He likes to pop out to the 3-point line and take a jumper.
Yeah, but it doesn't work, man. You are 7 foot tall guy. Do a pick and roll, go toward the basket. You got a lot of space. They give you the ball. The worst case scenario you will get is go to the free throw line.
Yeah, no, and
you know what I'm saying?
And he's a good free throw shooter tonight. Yeah. Unfortunately, B.I., thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words that he did not execute at the free throw line the way he should have tonight. Lance in Arizona, next on the Fanatic in the Post. What's up, Lance?
Hey, so people are still down on Carson Wentz, man. Jared Goff just didn't throw a touchdown the whole month of November, so it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. You know, that's their problem out there. We'll worry about ours here in Philly.
But with the Sixers, I look at it this way, man. They remind me, I know you watch college basketball, so they remind me a lot of Virginia in the fact that the style of play Virginia has keeps people in games when they're not super efficient. That's what the Sixers kind of do. They keep you in games because they're not a good enough shooting team. Defensively, you could be really good defensively, but if you're not making shots, it just takes a couple shots for the other team to get back into the game.
Sure.
So I look at it as they're the type of team that's going to keep bad teams in games. They're going to keep good teams in games. This is a style you're going to see in the playoffs.
Okay, when are you going to close out those games the way good teams do? And we've seen it before, but sometimes they're just worse than others when these games happen, like tonight.
Yeah, well, I think the problem with the Sixers is they don't have anybody that's a closer. That was the problem they had last year, and the reason why they got somewhat better at it towards the end of the year is because they had
Butler.
The problem with the 76ers is, I said this to D, they're constructed really poorly when you consider the fact Joel Embiid has to be on the block, Simmons has to be on the block, Horford has to be on the block. Two of those guys can't be in the block when the other one's in there, so they have to play more on the perimeter, and they're not good perimeter players. So now that's a huge issue for the 76ers because you have three guys that all have their success basically being on the block, and you're having him play too much on the perimeter. So you're going to have to make a trade somehow to get one of them out and get another player that's good enough to play on the perimeter with the other two guys.
I'm willing to see, Lance, if over the next couple of weeks, next month or so, if they can adjust to that, to your point, because you're right. I mean, that's not really going to change about the outside shooting because everyone does have to do their work on a block. Horford, I trust more on a perimeter than both Embiid and Simmons. Thanks for the call, man. But maybe they do have to address that. Maybe they do have to look at that and evaluate it, and maybe that's what Elton Brand is doing as he has been quiet. You don't see him as much in the arena watching the first half like he did a season ago. I don't think he's really done it this year, but that being said, I want to see, because I think what they do defensively on the other end, while they do keep teams in games, they should be able to, while they keep them in the game, keep them at arm's length and get it done the way they should with that big fella on the block. He has to execute down there in the post. Final segment on the other side. Roy, Chris, Dennis, we'll get to you on the other side, give you all your time. I'm Devon Givens. This is In the Post right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.11:46, final segment in the post right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. Josh Rabick doing a great job as always producing the show. Special thanks to him, of course, at 2008 Kansas Champ on Twitter. Jamal says, I wish I could trade Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons for Giannis. Man, just tough. Rockin' John 15, John Hess was having plenty of fun against Miami, but other than that, he hasn't been himself, speaking of Embiid. I pointed out the one where he was shimmying and all. And Chris Rowe with a bunch of numbers. Chris Robertson on Twitter before we get to the guys on the phone. These games happen. Not usually this bad, but they happen. Problem is, he is so immature when he is feeling it that he now seems depressed when he is not having a great game. I like his game, but he is an emotional, mental liability at times. Man. Sheesh. Wow. Just a tough one. Let's go back to the phones in the post next with Roy from New Hampshire on the Fanatic. Roy, how you doing?
My man, Devon.
What's happening,
hey, look,
man?
Hey, dude, what's going on? Hey, let me tell you something, man. I called Dee and I talked to her and I said, my question was, do you think we need a point guard? I know we need a point guard. We got to get a point guard. Ben Simmons and Brett Brown cannot coexist with each other. Somebody's got to go. Either Brett has got to go or Ben has got to go.
Well, we'll probably be the coach before the player at this point.
Yeah. And the thing with you got to have a coach that can get in the ear of Joel and Ben that won't let them ride and take the easy way out. You got to have a more forceful coach from what, you know. I do that deal. Yeah, I trade Bennett and Embiid for Giannis. Yeah, sure, we'll do that. I sure. And I blame.
It's a dog with Shane.
But anyway, I sure would do it. But anyway, I mean, if Embiid, I think Embiid misses Jimmy Butler really, really bad.
Well, he's got to get over it. He's got to get over it.
Yeah.
He's not coming back.
I know.
I'm tired of hearing about Jimmy Butler.
I believe that's the problem with Embiid. And besides drinking milkshakes when you're lactose intolerant, you got to stay away from milkshakes. Can't do that. You can't do that if you're lactose intolerant. Can't do it. You know,
man. Well, listen, he's got to get over the whole thing about Jimmy Butler not being, just like I've been tired, Roy, of Brett Brown talking about San Antonio. I don't want to hear any of this anymore.
Yeah, I sure would like to see Mark Jackson get that job, man. I sure would.
People, everybody says Mark Jackson, man. Everyone says Mark Jackson. I can't do it. Well, listen, if they do it, they do it. I've just heard too many weird things about him in Golden State. And
but how is Elton Brand going to fire the guy that hired him for the GM position?
Easy.
How are you going to do that?
Easy. Well, first of all, I think it's going to be more from the top than it would be Elton Brand.
It's true.
Yeah,
true.
So if that's the case, true, then it would really be up to Elton Brand and whoever the rest of the people are to find the new head coach, man. Roy, great hearing from you, man. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you soon. Chris in Florida in the post next on The Fanatic. Chris.
How you doing, Devon?
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? I just want to talk a little about Embiid. I'm just really disappointed coming into this year after seeing him cry after that Toronto game. I really thought he was going to get his act together, you know, be extremely more mature. And what happens? He gets suspended because he gets in a fight with this guy, Kat. And after that, I was like, he's not going to change. And this is just who he is. I don't think he's a mature player, man. And the only thing you can do is, I honestly think we need to get a coach that's going to get to him. Because Ben is not going to shoot. I don't know when, if he ever is. But the only guy that's going to give us that chip, man, is going to be Embiid. He is our best player. So I know we want Ben to shoot and do all this and that. But the reason we lost today is because Embiid had 0 points. I mean, and the reason we lost against Toronto in the playoffs is because Embiid played like crap. Like, that was his worst series.
Yes.
So I think we need a coach that's going to get him going. And I wish he had that drive Giannis has, man, to be that MVP, because he talks a lot of games. A lot of times he doesn't back it up, and it sucks, man.
Nah, it does, man. He has to be the guy. We've seen him be the guy. We need to see him do it again. And he has to find other ways to help his team win when he does not have him going. And selfish three-pointers and things of that nature when he just isn't feeling it and not trying to get some easy free throws to get himself going, it wasn't the way to go tonight.
No, it wasn't. And I believe that the way this was run, like, do you know why they kept Brett Brown after they did the process and all that stuff? Because I remember during the process when we stung, like, I thought they were going to get rid of him. I never really heard of the guy before, like, he came to Philly. Like, I don't know why they kept him for so long. Like, I feel like they kept him.
The ownership group likes him. And he got them from 28 wins to 52. Thanks for the call, man, Chris. And then, of course, the 50 that they got last year, 51. And it took a game 7 crazy bounce from Kawhi Leonard to win. And that's why they decided to keep him around for another year. Now, let's see what happens. Final call of the evening in the post. Dennis in Philly. What's going on, Dennis?
What's up, Devon?
No, a tough one tonight. That's what's up.
Yeah, real tough one. Just a point in the question. The point is, you know, with Brett Brown, I've been defending him, man, to my buddies, man, for the last couple years. But these fourth quarter collapses the last 2 years, I think he has to take some, you know, sort of responsibility, man. I don't know if he's actually doing enough to help the team in the fourth quarter. Like tonight, a 10-0 run to close out the game. That teams don't let that happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the other game was, I don't know, was it Utah? One of them other games, the same thing happened. You know, they go on these runs in the fourth quarter. So you got to help your team out.
Denver as well. Remember that Denver game?
Yeah, that's what it was, the Denver game. And then the question with Ben Simmons, like, is this part of Brett Brown's offense where he, you know, he's driving to the basket and he threw these turnaround back pass.
That's not Brett Brown harps on it, man. Know where you're going with the basketball, and but what are you supposed to do when Ben does that? Are you going to take him out?
I mean, no, but that kills me every time he does it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it works and you get an open three, but like tonight, I think he had about two or three turnovers.
In that way,
with him driving, and
right,
a couple he could have went straight to the basket.
I totally agree.
It's just sometimes this team is just so frustrating. But I will say, I think they set up for playoff basketball. I really think that's when you really going to see this team excel, is playoff basketball. But
The game will slow down and all.
You still have to get the one. Yeah, you still have to get the one or two seed. But you know, great talking to you, good brother. I enjoy you, and you're definitely a breath of fresh air to the sports.
Wow, thanks, man. That means a lot. Dennis, have a great night, man. If I don't speak to you by the time Thanksgiving hits, have a great holiday to you and
too,
your family, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. And just a quick quote. That was very nice of him to say that. Serena Winters of NBC Sports Philly with a quote from Embiid post-game as we close out the show. Starts with me. I can't have this type of production. I would have never thought I would be here talking about 0 points in an NBA game, different defensive schemes, and you've got to learn from it. I'll keep learning and working on my game. I hope so. And I believe he comes out and have a huge night against the Sacramento Kings. Josh Rabick, great stuff, man. Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody listening from 6 until tonight with the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. Special guest Trey Thomas. Hear him 6 o'clock a.m. tomorrow morning. And all of you guys, really appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow 7 o'clock with my guy, Joe Torti, 7 to midnight. 5 hours with JT. I can't wait. We'll have a lot to talk about. Eagles, Sixers, some Flyers, I'm sure. Have a great night, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.